Many blended couples go in thinking that they'll simply become a new and improved first family. They expect family roles to quickly be established and connections to rapidly build. Now, if that's your expectation, you're probably hoping for a smooth, painless, and speedy road to familyness. And I really hate to break this to you, but when couples go in with this high expectation, they're most often setting themselves up for disappointment. Welcome to the Blended Family Breakthrough Podcast. We're your hosts, Mike and Kim.
We believe in a world where blended families can experience a future full of hope, connection, and peace.
That's why we offer tools, strategies, and guidance that move you from a place of confusion and conflict to experiencing a life of confidence and connection.
We're so glad you're joining us for authentic and sometimes comical conversations as we cover everything from romance to parenting. And yes, even dealing with that difficult ex.
So if you're ready to experience breakthrough in your blended family, you're in the right place. Let's dive in. Well, hey there. Thanks so much for being here. We are very excited for today's episode. Mm-hmm. But before we hop in, would you be willing to give us just a little feedback? Just scroll to the ratings and reviews section on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you happen to be listening and tap the star rating that best represents the value of the show for you. And why not leave a review as well, like Joe recently did, who said that Blended Family Breakthrough is a must. Mm. He shared that we're transparent, practical, useful, and so much more. Hey, thanks for that feedback, yes. Joe. We're very grateful that the show has brought value to you. Mm-hmm. And don't forget to follow us over on Facebook or Instagram as well. All right, honey, what are we going to be focusing on today?
When it comes to blended families, coupleness does not necessarily equal familyness. Now, that's how expert Ron Dill puts it in his book, Preparing to Blend. Let me say it again, because it's something that most of us don't often consider when we set out on our blended family journey, and yet it's so profound. When it comes to blended families, coupleness does not necessarily equal familyness.
That is such a great distinction. See, for most couples, they meet and they fall in love, and there's this strong sense of connection, and everything just feels so right, right? They spend countless hours together, they explore everything about each other, and sure, they share about their kids, but the context is focused on the positives more so than the painful realities, like all the loss and the grief that the kids have experienced and probably continue to struggle with as well.
Of course. And at some point, the couple starts to imagine a life together. They've got some amazing dreams and beautiful aspirations for their future. They're a perfect match. And so, of course, they believe their children will all fit right into this ideal picture that they've envisioned.
Right.
Naturally, they become hyper-focused on all the benefits their union will bring. Not just for them as a couple, but for their kids as well.
Right?
They'll have another loving adult to guide and support them through childhood. Often the couple views blending a family as a big adventure filled with positive experiences, right? Wholesome meals around the table with lively conversation, spending lots of time together, enjoying everyday life as a family, and even setting out on fun-filled vacations.
Oh boy, but in reality, their coupleness experience, which seems to have become everything they've dreamed of, has now spilled over into their beliefs around what their familyness will also become.
Yeah.
And as Ron Dill says, coupleness does not necessarily equal familiness. This is why eager couples who are deeply in love and committed to each other can make the easy wrong turn of quickly moving everyone under one roof without intentionality, preparation, and consideration, only to be blindsided with those heart-wrenching realities of two separate families that aren't really blending all that well at all.
Right. And the truth is, blending a family involves so much more than just the couple. Ron says that becoming family to one another, which is fundamentally what every blended family is hoping to accomplish, is an emotional process that requires active engagement by all parties. He goes on to say, you can't just wish stepchildren into accepting, respecting, or loving a step-parent. They must develop mutual trust and affection through actual interaction.
That's right. Your coupleness is important. It will become the foundation of your home. And yet, familyness is equally important and will require an investment of time and intentional efforts if you want to truly become a family in the long run.
We recently spoke with a woman who shared some of her family's struggles around blending with us, and she said something I thought was really interesting. She said, you know, it's funny. Couples in first marriages are always advised to focus on their couple relationship, to make continual investments and keep it strong.
Right.
But the second time around is so confusing. It seems like we kind of lose sight of everyone involved, and we aren't sure what it means to make continual investments into the family unit. And I thought her point was quite profound, because it's easy, right, for first family couples to suddenly become very kid-centered after they start their family,
right?
Their coupleness kind of tends to get lost in the business of raising their kids, and that's why the advice of investing in your marriage is so prevalent.
Right.
But relational dynamics are different when a recoupling occurs. The new couple starts out centered on their relationship and often assumes or even expects their kids to readily accept and embrace their new partner, as well as their partner's children, if they happen to have any.
Sure, yeah. If we can kind of get up and out of the weeds and look at the overarching dynamics, things sometimes get even more complex. See, following the death of a parent, abandonment, or divorce, parents often become acutely focused on their children. It's pretty natural at that point, as everyone's working through the loss and the pain and the grief, for parents to make their kids the highest priority and to kind of reconstruct their daily life around them. You know, it's all about the kids' needs and their activities and their preferences, right? And in this stage of creating a single parent home, especially during your visitation time, that's pretty common. That's pretty normal.
Yeah.
As a result, kids often end up with a lot of power and control in the home. Now, this isn't because kids are demanding control and power, but because of the relational patterns that naturally emerge following a divorce or the death or abandonment of the other parent. It's very natural and typical to do things like, let's make what the kids want for dinner, or watch the movie the kids want to watch, or play the game the kids want to play, or go to the park on Saturday afternoon because the kids want to. See, it's not that they're demanding that power. It's that they get used to making a lot of decisions. And the single parent leans into their kids' preferences. It's common. It's normal.
Absolutely. I know I did. And then we meet someone special and start to shift our focus on our new romantic relationship. Not that we neglect our kids, but we start to focus on this new relationship, especially during the time when our kids might be at our ex's home for visitations. Sometimes it might seem kind of like we're living a double life, right? One week we're highly focused on and we're invested in our kids and they're directing a great deal of how our single parent home is operating. Then the next week when our kids are gone, we're highly focused on and investing in our new relationship. Two different focuses, two separate routines, two ways of living life. And that's certainly how it was for me in the beginning.
Yeah, when you think about that, that time that you were investing in me, Annika didn't witness that,
right?
She wasn't getting used to me at the rate that you were getting used to me.
She was at her dad's.
That's right. So think about all the time, the energy, and the focus that you invested, or maybe you're currently investing, into your coupleness through the dating process as you were falling in love. You had many opportunities to get to know your partner at a deeper level. You enjoyed activities, meals, you laughed together, you maybe got some inside jokes going, and you kind of have a basic understanding of each other's personal preferences and personalities. But your kids have not experienced your new partner in these ways yet. their knowledge and their level of comfort is miles behind yours.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Then at some point, couples start to introduce and integrate their kids with each other. They plan fun outings and hang out together, and, you know, maybe things seem to go well, and it's mostly positive. But often, couples get lured into a false sense of confidence because they think that if things are relatively smooth and easy during these early outings, that positive things will continue and build from there as they move forward with the next big step, such as marriage or moving in together. And this is where things get a bit confusing. We hear story after story of couples who end up blindsided when shortly after the big move, negative attitudes emerge and everyone seems to be walking around on eggshells. Couples need to understand that, you know, fun outings for a limited amount of time when everyone seems to be on their best behavior, that's very different than doing day-to-day life together under the same roof. Absolutely. It's not going to be the same.
That's right. And that initial vision of the exciting blended family adventure often doesn't match up with the reality the couple starts to experience.
Right.
Wholesome meals around the table with lively conversation turn into dinnertime drama. His kids refuse to eat the healthy meal that she spent hours preparing, or her kids stay locked into their phones during the entire meal. His kids chew with their mouths open. Her kids don't say please and thank you. His kids won't help clear the table. Her kids are allowed to have dessert even though they didn't finish their dinner. And guess what? On and on and on it goes. Their dream of enjoying everyday life as a family now consists of things like favoritism or double standards and expectations that are unclear and rarely enforced. And somewhere in the mix, they throw in what they hope will be some fun-filled vacation time together, which sometimes turned into a stress-filled week that feels like a bit of a waste of money because the whole family just can't wait for it to end.
Right.
We I wonder hear about if that sounds familiar time. To anybody. Yeah. Yeah.
Genuine familyness must be co-created between the adults and the kids. And that takes time and intentionality. Otherwise, things can fall apart pretty quickly. Early on in your relationship, you might have had some thoughts around what blended family life would be like. I know I did before we actually blended.
Right.
I remember thinking to myself, oh, Mike is so easy to talk to and so much fun to be around. Annika is just going to love spending time with him.
Yeah, I kind of thought she'd like me too.
And Mike is so helpful and attentive. Annika will appreciate all he's going to do to make her life better.
Boy, I don't know. Or guys, you might have thought, well, man, my new partner is so caring, kind, and generous. My kids are going to feel nurtured and valued by her. It'll be easy for them to love or fall in love with her just like I have.
Right.
And you know, all of those things might come to be the case, but it could take 5 to 7 years, which is the average time it takes for blended families to actually integrate. But until then, your kids are probably not going to see your new partner through the same lens that you see them, or have the ability to acknowledge the value that your new partner might have to offer. And there are plenty of reasons that this is often the case.
Right. So let's just quickly touch down on a few valid reasons why it's common for kids to resist an incoming step-parent or have trouble embracing familyness. You should anticipate these and be willing to understand each child's unique perspective. It's really important. There are strategies that can help break down those walls of resistance and create more connection. But first, we need to develop empathy for what the kids could be experiencing. You know, for some kids, a step-parent represents the end of a dream that their parents will someday reunite and their first family will be restored. Kids can hold on to this dream for years. And many kids perceive an incoming step-parent as a threat to their relationship with their parent.
Right.
And they feel they now have to compete with the step-parent for time, attention, and affection.
Yeah, you know, adolescents and teens often feel like they already have two parents and they don't see a need for any more. Right. I mean, what kid wants another adult around telling him what to do, right? And if kids had a lot of decision-making power in the single-parent home, like I mentioned earlier, they can feel confused and slighted when things start to shift and this new person seems to have a lot of influence over how their home now operates. Mm-hmm. Hey there, we'll get back to this episode in just a moment. But we're wondering, how's your parenting partnership going lately? Does it ever feel like you and your spouse are not quite on the same page when it comes to parenting all the kids in your home? Have you ever noticed that a challenge with one of the kids can quickly become a conflict between you as a couple? Are you ever feeling overwhelmed by trying to keep track of dozens of house rules?
Guess what? You're not alone. Mm-hmm. We hear these kinds of frustrations from blended couples all the time. Mm-hmm. Early in our marriage, we struggled to build unity around parenting too. We would go round and round about what boundaries to hold, what our house rules should be, whose parenting style was more effective, and on mm-hmm. and on and on. Mm-hmm. Sound familiar? Finally, we figured out some really simple steps that helped us break free from our conflict cycle around parenting and experience genuine unity. And we want the same for you.
That's right. Starting on the morning of Tuesday, May 7th, we're kicking off our Build Your Parenting Partnership 3-Day Challenge.
Woohoo!
And it's absolutely free. We'll show you step by step how you can get started on building a united partnership around parenting in your home in a way that honors both of your perspectives. Mm-hmm. We're holding the challenge inside a private Facebook group where you'll be able to connect directly with us and ask all your questions for 3 days in a row.
Mm-hmm. Just scroll all the way to the bottom of the show notes for this episode and click the link to sign up.
Mm-hmm.
We'll send you a link to the Facebook group and we'll get started on Tuesday the 7th. We can't wait to meet you and to help you take your next steps in building the parenting partnership you really want.
All right, let's get back to the episode.
Kids often experience difficult emotions when they feel pressured to embrace a step-parent, step-siblings, and the new family structure. And they struggle to accept all the changes happening in their home, most of which they didn't ask for or probably even want. Their struggle can magnify or even escalate into anger when the adults attempt to sidestep or disregard the nature of step relations.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what this often sounds like. You know, in our home, there are no steps. Everyone is the same. We're just family.
Right.
Yeah, you know, most of the time, this comes from a good place and a positive hope. However, it's typically focused on what the adults are hoping to experience, while it really disregards what the kids might actually be experiencing. When children hear this sidestepping message, there are no steps, but they really don't feel that their step siblings or their brother or sister or that their step parent is their real parent, this can trigger tremendous frustration and anger when we pressure or force kids to regard their step parent or step siblings as equal to their biological family. It can add to the painful circumstances they must endure and becomes one more thing they don't agree with or have any control over.
Right. And all of these things can slow down or even stall out your blend. Now, another common challenge for kids of every age are what we call loyalty binds. And this emerges when a child perceives that if they accept a step-parent, it's going to be dishonoring or upsetting for that parent in the other home. And that can create guilt, confusion, and discomfort in kids. So guess what? They put up walls just like we do when we feel guilt, confusion, or relational discomfort. It's a pretty natural reaction, right?
Mm-hmm.
A parental allegiance can also create stress, confusion, and an emotional burden for a child who's been put in the middle of their divorced parents, and they feel like they have to align with one over the other. And when kids experience any of these kinds of challenges, and there are others that we don't really have time to get into today, in their anger, frustration, and pain, they probably are going to act out, often in ways that could be uncharacteristic for that child. Mm-hmm. Or if kids start feeling overwhelmed or pressured or confused, they might start to shut down or pull away from the family and isolate themselves, which again might be kind of out of character for them.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, the good news is that there are plenty of healthy ways to come alongside kids and help them navigate these challenging dynamics. And you can check out the episodes we've linked to in the show notes to discover practical strategies that can make a positive impact around all of this. But let's be clear, there isn't a silver bullet or any easy quick fix for the emotional binds and relational struggles that kids often experience. But parents and step-parents who are able to understand each child and grow in empathy for their unique experiences, they will have the capacity to show up well and work with the kids to co-create familyness. Mm-hmm. Brené Brown says, empathy fuels connection. To nourish and grow healthy bonds in a blended family, empathy is a must. Mm-hmm. So we encourage you to take the time to reflect on what your children have experienced all along the way, not just through the blending journey, but during your single parent years and even back to the separation, divorce, or loss of a loved one. Mm-hmm. For most kids, it's a long and challenging journey they've been on, filled with a lot of loss and grief.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And we've heard it said before that blended families are born out of loss. Mm-hmm. That divorce, the death, the abandonment, that comes with loss and grief that just can't be underestimated. On top of that emotional burden, blended families are born into ambiguity. So even if the couple is committed to each other and confident and moving forward, their kids often struggle with ambiguity, all the unknowns that come with blending. They might wonder things like, how's this going to impact my relationship with my parent and our day-to-day routines? We've got a good thing here, you know, and I don't really want that to change. Mm-hmm. Or is my step-parent going to tell me what to do now, and do I have to listen to them? Or will I be expected to include this annoying step-sibling when my friends come over now? See, kids can wrestle with ongoing confusion and a whole lot of ambiguity. So just because your coupleness is secure doesn't necessarily mean that your familyness is secure.
Exactly. The reality is that ambiguity will be part of every blended family's journey. Maybe you've heard this term, intimate strangers. We think that description is so good. There's an expectation or hope for family intimacy and connection. And, you know, if everyone's living under the same roof, there's certainly intimacy through proximity. However, the reality is that you simply aren't a first family who has known each other from the get-go and built years of history and memories together. A blended family is comprised of strangers, particularly in the beginning.
That's right. And Ron says that unless people get to know one another and bring overt understanding to the nature of their relationship, trust will remain tentative and shallow. So they'll remain strangers, even under the same roof, right? And ambiguity could possibly increase. But let's talk about trust for a few minutes. I'm betting that you want to experience meaningful connection and healthy bonds with your kids and stepkids. Now, if that's true, then establishing trust with them is critical. And the degree of trust that is cultivated with each individual relationship is what will best determine if and when familiness actually develops.
When we first connect with blended couples for a free coaching call and we ask them to share their primary pain points with us, often we hear couples describe issues that center around their kids.
Surprise, surprise.
Specifically when it comes to respect, or rather attitudes of disrespect that they're experiencing from one or more of their children. Mm-hmm. And usually when they call us, they're looking for ways to get the kids to comply or behave respectfully. But after we've asked a few pointed questions about what the kids have experienced so far in their blended family, and even before their blend happened, we start to realize that this issue isn't really about disrespectful kids acting out. Because under the surface, distrust has emerged. And there are many dynamics where this can happen for kids. The truth is, kids need time and positive associations with a step-parent. They need to experience mutual respect in that relationship before they can fully trust and willingly extend respect towards them. Yeah. Trust and respect must be earned, and it's got to be mutual. It's got to go both ways.
That's right. Let's loop back to Ron's quote for a second. Unless people get to know one another and bring overt understanding to the nature of their relationship, trust will remain tentative and shallow. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, it's not easy or natural to trust or respect someone when I'm feeling that our relationship is tentative and shallow.
Right.
Step-parents need to focus on getting to know their stepchild and creating positive understanding around the nature of their relationship. And all of that comes before they've earned enough trust to be in a position of influence with their stepchild. So to help you navigate that a little bit, we've added some links to a few episodes in the show notes. One of them is episode 39, How to Create Strong Bonds with Resistant Stepkids. And another is episode 130, How to Build Trust That Nurtures Bonds with Your Kids and Your Stepkids. And I encourage you to go check those out if you haven't heard them already. Or if you have, it might be time for some review.
Exactly. All right, so we've explored the difference between coupleness and familyness and the easy wrong turns that couples sometimes make when they aren't prepared or haven't fully considered the challenges they could face. Now let's switch gears and explore some practical ways you can invest in your familyness, no matter what the stage of blending you're currently in.
Sure.
One of your first priorities as a couple is to examine and adjust your own expectations. Now, you might be thinking, huh, that doesn't really sound like familyness to me, right? But hear me out on this. When the challenging realities of blending collide with unrealistic, lofty expectations, well, couples tend to become emotionally dysregulated. They experience deep disappointment. They become discouraged, hurt, and sometimes feel as if they're failing. This leads to conflict between them, which of course will have a negative impact on their coupleness. But the emotional fallout of unmet expectations will bleed out all over everyone in the family, and it will also have a negative impact on familyness.
For sure.
When things start to veer off the expected course and the couple experiences difficulty, both of them might become grumpy or disgruntled with each other and with the kids. Maybe they become quick-tempered or lash out. Little things quickly morph into big things. Negative attitudes, snarky comments, withholding care, being nitpicky, easily offended, impatient, overly critical, blaming others for their own pain, or avoiding and escaping from the family as much as possible. These are just a few of the ways that emotionally dysregulated adults react when their expectations are unmet and they experience painful realities they just hadn't planned for.
Right. And if we're to look at it from the kids' perspective, how might they be feeling as all of this is going on? Whether it's happening around them or even directed at them, if this dynamic continues, it's going to create an environment of insecurity and chaos, instability, and even resistance. Like, why would any kid want to lean in and embrace this new family dynamic if that kind of stuff is what they're experiencing? You know, it's crucial for blended couples to recalibrate their unrealistic expectations and be willing to accept some hard truths. Ron mentions some helpful expectations for couples to consider as they prepare to blend, but we know that whatever stage of blending you're in, even if you've been under the same roof for years, if either of the adults are holding on to unrealistic or idealized expectations of what they should be experiencing, what they think they should be experiencing, and then those expectations aren't met and emotions flare, things will eventually deteriorate. Coupleness and familyness falls apart. So let's name just a few of those unrealistic expectations that Ron highlights in his book, Preparing to Blend.
Right. The first one is that family members will love each other right away.
Wait. That's not true.
I always chuckle a bit at what Ron says here. Oh, if only it were so. It would be great. Now, sometimes with some family members, love can emerge quickly.
Sure.
We've definitely heard from couples who experience this in their blended family. But it's not the norm.
Right.
Just as with any other relationship in life, blended family relationships develop slowly over time. Patience is a must.
Mm-hmm.
Now, often couples feel this urgency for everyone to love each other, usually because it makes them feel better about their decision to blend. Mm. But this can be an easy wrong turn couples often make, especially if they're experiencing the discomfort of relational tension. They attempt to push everyone together for lots and lots of family time, and they believe this will encourage connection and bonding. Now, this might seem like common sense. Mm-hmm. You know, like Ron's quote kind of insinuated, people need to get to know each other.
Sure.
And that's true. But when it comes to blending a family, the reality is that tension is most often highest when everyone is together.
Mm.
When we force intimate strangers to spend time together and interact, it can actually do more harm than good. It might seem like a good idea, but unfortunately, sometimes our best intentions can easily backfire.
Okay, so now you might be totally confused, right? A minute ago, we quote Ron and we state that people in a blended family need to get to know one another. Now you're telling us that doing family time creates tension.
Right.
So how in the heck are we supposed to create an environment for people to get to know one another without it backfiring into tension-filled experiences?
Right.
I'm really glad you asked that question. This is one of those tricky and confusing places couples end up. And if that's you, you're not alone.
No.
So we want to help you gain a bit of a deeper understanding and some effective strategies. And so we're going to encourage you to go check out episode 136. We've linked to it in the show notes. It's called How to Intentionally Create Positive Family Time and Reduce Tension. Doesn't that sound great?
Yeah.
So understanding family time intensity levels and how to manage that well is going to help you to co-create familyness.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we'll also put a link in the show notes that'll take you to every episode that we've got on the topic of bonding so that, again, you can kind of zero in on learning about how to mindfully approach the challenges that you're currently facing and make the healthy progress in bonding and building familyness that you really want to create.
Yeah, exactly. Another unrealistic expectation that Ron highlights is this. Blending is the goal of this step family.
It's not?
No. Now, Ron has been supporting stepfamilies for over 30 years, and one of his primary messages is around how to cook a stepfamily. And he's concluded that blending seems to insinuate that everyone should just merge or blend into one smooth concoction. But the reality is that blenders have sharp blades that tend to chop up the members of a blended family by forcing them to readily accept the intimate strangers and to let go of their past identity, their history, and previous connections. Blending doesn't create a family that's safe or comfortable. We use that term, but we don't want you to stick your family into a blender.
Right.
In fact, it does just the opposite. To a child trying to hold on to their identity and history, it feels like a hostile environment that leads to guardedness, caution, and self-protection.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Ron's quote from earlier, becoming family to one another, which is fundamentally what blending families are hoping to accomplish, is an emotional process that requires active engagement by all the parties. It's not an expectation or a requirement for everyone to smoothly blend together. The process of becoming a family is so much more.
Yep.
Now, you might want to grab a copy of Ron's book, The Smart Step Family, if you'd like to understand more about the best way to cook a step family, which is fundamental learning basics. Yep. And we've put a link in the show notes to that book. Or you can click the link to episode 72 to discover the best way to cook and create healthy bonded relationships.
That's right. I'll give you just a little clue. Slowing down actually speeds things up. Mm-hmm. So low and slow is the best strategy. Now, what tends to spoil things is when couples attempt to cook their stepfamily using an Instapot or a microwave or a pressure cooker, or even, like Kim's talking about, that blender approach. We've got to learn to reduce pressure and be patient so that genuine connections can naturally emerge as people get to know each other at a pace that feels comfortable for everyone. Mm-hmm. All right, let's look at another unrealistic expectation. Your blended family is going to operate just like a first family. That is definitely an unrealistic expectation. Many blended couples go in thinking that they'll simply become a new and improved first family. They expect family roles to quickly be established and connections to rapidly build. Now, if that's your expectation, you're probably hoping for a smooth, painless, and speedy road to familyness. And I really hate to break this to you, but when couples go in with this high expectation, they're most often setting themselves up for disappointment. Mm. And the truth is, it's unrealistic to expect your blended family to become just like a first family. If you've been blending for any time at all, you probably already realized this.
You figured it out.
Now, this is because biological and step relationships are not the same thing. Biological relationships have the built-in luxury of that nonverbal, emotional, and psychological connection and being able to kind of read each other. There's this mutual, lifelong belonging, dedication, and a willingness to care for each other even when things are hard. Step relationships don't have that advantage. No. While biological relationships are defined by what is, like you're my dad no matter what, step relationships are often defined by what is communicated, negotiated, and co-created over time. As Ron says, you can't take anything for granted when it comes to step relationships.
That's the truth.
Absolutely.
Blended couples need to understand this and be willing to recalibrate any unrealistic expectations. And by the way, this applies to your marriage as well as your family. Mm-hmm. Things will be different than the first time around. Mm-hmm. Once we've embraced the fact that we can't force or expect our blended family to operate just like a first family, now we can strategize around how to approach things from a healthier perspective and apply strategies that encourage genuine bonds to form within step relationships.
Exactly. Don't waste your time and energy trying to fit the members of your family into a perceived biological box. That's not going to help anybody. Instead, you want to refocus your time and energy into something that will help. That's to learn and grow in your capacity to do what Ron calls co-creating familyness. Mm-hmm. Now, I just mentioned that step relationships are defined by what's communicated, negotiated, and co-created. And the biggest challenges are often rooted in parenting, which is a big and complicated topic for blended families. But the bottom line is this: if you want to co-create familyness, parenting in a blended family cannot operate the same as in a first family. For a step parent, understanding their parental role and responsibilities can bring about a lot of confusion and frustration. After all, as a step parent, you're the adult. They're the child. So it's often natural to think that you should have a certain amount of authority and that our authority should be respected. Mm. But this is where things can easily get off track. A step-parent who attempts to wield authority or demand respect before they've established strong trust, connection, and rapport with a stepchild, they're just going to sabotage the development of their familyness.
Right. Now, step-parents, they might feel like they've got to get in there early on and set the tone with their stepchild of who's in charge. They might start out right out of the gate by communicating things like, hey, your room needs to get cleaned up. Don't roll your eyes at me. You need to bring up your math grade. You know, normal parenting kinds of things, right? Right. However, conveying disapproval or making corrections will slow down trust building in step relationships. which will most likely cause a stepchild to pull away and resist forming any kind of relationship with their stepparent. That's their natural reaction to this. And it's because a stepparent actually doesn't hold any true authority, at least not in the beginning. And it's very easy for a child to start making negative associations with their stepparent. We don't want that. We want positive associations, right. Not negative.
Right.
The relational tension created by trying to claim authority before earning trust cannot be easily repaired, especially with teenagers. But it is possible to get back on track relationally if the step-parent is willing to take a step back with correction and direction and instead focus on connection. Now, this means that they've got to let the biological parent do the parenting of their kids.
Yep. And I know you step-parents out there might be thinking, well, my partner doesn't parent their kids, so I've got to step up. The kids need to learn respect and responsibility, right? Or maybe you're a step-parent who finds themselves left alone with the kids and are in charge when your partner is gone at work or somewhere else. What are you supposed to do? Just let the kids walk all over you and get away with poor behavior? Oh, no, that's not going to work. Parenting and step-parenting is complicated. That's why we say it's imperative for couples to build an effective parenting partnership. And this is no easy task when you're faced with ongoing patterns between the bio parent and their kids and all the emotional tension that gets stirred up when couples attempt to discuss parenting.
Absolutely. So far, we've explored the differences between coupleness and familyness. We've talked about the importance of putting ourselves into the shoes of the kids to gain empathy for their unique experience and building mutual trust and respect. We mentioned how blended families are born into ambiguity and how that impacts familyness. And we discussed some unrealistic expectations and why it's crucial for couples to adjust and embrace realistic expectations as they move forward. And all of these things are absolutely necessary to co-creating familyness, but if the couple isn't able to establish a healthy, functional parenting partnership, it'll all blow up.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot underestimate the fallout that will most likely occur if parenting in your blended family isn't handled with care and wisdom. We've heard hundreds of heartbreaking stories about broken trust, relational tension, and kids who turn against a step-parent who they had previously been really open to.
Mm-hmm.
Walls go up, connections break down, and familyness stalls out. Not to mention the frustration, pain, and disconnection that then negatively impacts coupleness.
Right. Building a parenting partnership takes work. It's not easy, and couples need to develop open communication and effective collaboration skills if they want to establish healthy boundaries in their home and teach all the kids some solid values and character traits and life skills. This is something we help blended couples with all the time, and it's key to co-creating familyness because it's not just about getting the couple aligned around parenting, but also getting everyone in the home on the same page. Setting clear and consistent expectations that encompass every family member will help to reduce ambiguity. And then the bio and the step-parent understand and employ their parental roles appropriately. This sets the stage for genuine bonds and trust to grow. It sets the stage for familyness to become a reality.
Exactly. And maybe you've been listening and you're thinking, well, we need some help building our parenting partnership.
Great.
You're not alone. Lots of couples get there. And we would be happy to help you with that. This is one of the areas we specialize in. And you can click the link in the show notes to schedule your free coaching call with us. We've developed practical steps and strategies to help you move forward and succeed in how you lead your home together. Or you can continue to gain knowledge and insight around this topic from our podcast. We've got a lot of episodes that focus on parenting, including, by the way, what to do if the bio parent is struggling to use their authority with their own kids, or when a step parent is left alone with stepkids, like Mike mentioned a minute ago,
mm-hmm.
and so much more. There's a link in the show notes that'll take you to every episode we've got on parenting and step-parenting to make it easy for you to find what you need and continue learning and growing.
That's right. Here's the bottom line. It takes intentional effort and a mindful approach if you want to co-create familyness, which is different than your coupleness. Mm-hmm. So we encourage you to take a next step simply by checking out some of the other episodes in the show notes or reach out to us for your free coaching call. Mm-hmm. And for now, we're going to make this episode a wrap.
Until next time.